You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Man Dog Pod, the normally improv and conversation podcast hosted by yours truly, Ryan Rosenberg, and my good buddy to my left, Dan Lippert. Hey, Dan.
Hi, Ryan. And you are to my left, I think, also. Does that make sense?
Okay.
I'll never understand the I'll never be able to direct or be a cinematographer because I never understand what side of the frame.
Uh-huh.
You know that thing where it's like you're on the right side, so the other person should be on the left?
Right, because they should be looking at each other. Like, I'm going this way, and now I'm looking at you.
Okay,
hopefully
so
across
right.
My frame. Does that work for you?
I can't. It's my brain is not.
Are our faces pointed towards each other, or are they pointed away from each other?
They are pointed towards each other here, yeah.
Then that makes sense to me. Like, okay. Otherwise, if we were going like this, now I'm looking away from you.
Right, we're both looking at the same thing, it looks
yes, like. Yes. Folks, welcome back to Cinema Talk with Dan and Ryan. No, I'm just kidding. Today is just a normal big check-in. It's where Dan and I chat and talk and catch up and let our listeners and, I don't want to say fans, but fans.
Yeah, maybe obsessive appreciators or...
That's right. No, I don't know. Whoever likes to listen to this, whatever you identify as, that's great.
That's absolutely right. And it is, what is it, Monday the 22nd. We are in March Madness. Are you watching college hoops?
That's right. Well, you know, I've been having a little conflict because I've been really liking pro hoops lately, and then college came on, and I just don't have time for it.
It's true. It's a little, especially because it's not in front of the big crowds.
Mm-hmm.
There's this. I just am more interested in watching the professionals play.
Right. Is it? This sounds like a dumb question, but is it normally that March Madness and the NBA are happening at the same time? Yes. Right.
Yes. We would be moving towards the playoffs. I think the playoffs are usually May, June.
Right. They like start in the summer, so March Madness happens and then the NBA. So I guess this is normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen any March Madness games. Have you been watching any?
I watched the end of the Oral Roberts game where they upset the Ohio State University.
I take out that the when you're losing, you know?
I know. I love when they lose because of that stupid the. That the makes me hate that school. No offense.
Right. And there's a few schools that do that, right? Like the Miami.
Oh, are there more?
I think a few of them.
Come on.
Right. I guess it's like if there are multiple schools close that all use the same name, they choose to differentiate by going like, it's the Florida State.
Yeah.
Not just one of the colleges, you know, or whatever.
But it's like, okay, yeah. Good luck.
Right.
Good luck. God bless you. I don't love it.
Good luck. You're going to graduate from there, and then please stop liking your college. Please don't be a college guy forever.
Yeah. College passion is interesting, man. Mm-hmm. Did you see... the Tom Izzo scrape?
No, he's the Michigan State coach, is that right?
So now for the second year in a row in March Madness, he has gotten in the face of a player and like physically grabbed them.
Wow.
And
on his team or on the opposite team?
On his team, one of his players.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it becomes this small hubbub because some people are like, come on, this is crazy. And some people are like, that's just the way he is. That's how he like Draymond Green was like, that's Michigan State Michigan State basketball because he went there. He's like, no big deal.
Right.
And it's like, well, you played for him. You're allowed to say that. But when I see it, I don't know how anybody can see a 70-year-old man screaming at an 18-year-old kid and grabbing him and being like, that's okay. That's awesome. This guy is healthy.
And one of these guys is literally a paid millionaire, and the other one is not allowed to make money.
Yes.
which to me really balances it out. It's like, well, then we at least have to have them both be at their job if this kind of treatment is okay. One of these guys is doing charity and getting yelled at for it.
Yeah. It's dicey territory to even talk about because I'm not a basketball player. I'm obviously a white guy.
But you're tall.
But I am tall. But a very well-paid old white man screaming at a young black kid not getting paid doesn't look right to me. And then on top of that, it's like, I really hope I never am friends with a 70-year-old man who screams at 18-year-old kids, no matter what their job is. Right. I just don't think that's for me.
Right. Yeah, it's obviously wrong. I mean, there's just no, there doesn't really even need to be a lot of discussion about it, right? It's like, this can't happen.
I think it's like the this weird, it might be international, but it's definitely an American thing of like, that, hey, it gets the job done. It motivates people. Right. And that's what I think creates like abuser environments, probably.
Right.
Like it's a Hollywood thing too, of just like, that director's pretty nuts, but man, they make good movies. And it's like,
100%. Well, and one is not necessarily associated with the other, and it's not fair to lump them together. This guy can be a good director and be an asshole, and those skills be separate. He could probably be a good director and respect the people he works with. You know what I mean? Like, that's all we're asking for. We're not asking him to change his directorial style, just the way he treats the people he's around.
That's right. And also, it maybe only works for some people who are like, I think it's great, but like, what about all the other people it doesn't work for?
Exactly.
Who, like, it ruins their lives because they, it wasn't a style that they could, we only hear from the people who liked it, you know?
Right. And, you know, I don't know if we're all supposed to take Draymond's word on this because he's the guy that yells at everybody and kicks people in the nuts in basketball. So no offense, you might be okay with some things that the rest of us are saying, like, we know that's what we want to talk about. And you're like, no, that's the way it is. And we're like, well, your judgment isn't really what we're interested in right now, because of course you're okay with this. Like,
just remember, you guys lost the title because you got too many technical fouls in the playoffs, and it ruined the stretch because you kicked LeBron James in the balls.
Right.
But that's the big March Madness. And then there's also, should we get, if you're watching the video, there's the old elephant in the motel room here.
Where is this guy?
Where in the world? Where in the world
is Carmen Dandiego?
Oh, Dandiego.
Yeah, it works, right?
I'm stealing the Eiffel Tower.
I got really excited when I figured out that San Diego and Dan Diego would work. I was like, yes.
I wish I knew you when I lived in San Diego.
Oh, my God. Well, we all knew where you were then.
That's true.
Not as exciting. San Diego. Now, just over your shoulder, there's a henchman in an I Heart Crime t-shirt.
Uh-oh, I'm caught.
Do you remember the game? Did you ever play the game?
I don't know if I did. I feel like I did, but I have no actual memories of it.
Yeah, I just got the chills. Sorry.
It's okay. I mean, it's chilly to conversation.
God, I'm just, it's chilled me in my core. Oh, my God.
This Carmen San Diego talk really got to me.
Oh, my Lord.
Bone chilling.
I just remember that being a very fun game because you got to sort of like sleuth around and follow clues. And it, you know, it was like a choose your own adventure, whether or not you're solving it. And like, they have these funny animations where like guys in a mask and a funny shirt would come out, or, you know, someone would fall from the rafters, or, you know, whatever. It was funny.
So it was a video game, not a board game.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the video game that I think I played like at my elementary school computer lab. Like, I think that's where I played it most, because it was like an educational game. Edutainment, is that what they call
Edutainment.
It? Edutainment. Number crunchers, you know, stuff like that.
Did you, in high school, was this a phase for everyone, our generation, get really into a cappella music? Because I had like all the, you know, Rockapella is the band from Carmen San, the group from the TV show Rockapella. But they also had a bunch of like a cappella cover songs, and I listened to them all in high school.
I think there maybe was a time that I was like, I think it would be fun to be in like a not a barbershop quartet, but it would be cool to harmonize with friends.
Yeah, it would be cool.
I don't think I wanted the suit, but I was like, yeah, we could do a little singing group, you know?
I'll say one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done in my life is in high school, me, my friend Brad, my friend Eric, I want to say my friend Matt, and maybe it might have been Evan too. We sat outside of Baskin Robbins, and when people walked in, we would go, welcome, welcome, welcome to Baskin Robbins.
That is so cute and so annoying. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, guys, like, oh, very good. Thank you. Like, now I got to do a thing for you. Yeah. Man, that's funny.
It's insanely nerdy.
It's really funny. And did you guys have experience doing that well, or did you just decide that's what we were doing tonight?
Like, Eric, Brad, and Matt were all musical. They played guitar. They like to like jam together and like sing and whatever. I had no musical acumen at all. Same. Though I did sing Stairway to Heaven at my prom.
You got that nice baritone.
Yeah, at the time, I don't know. It was the nice Led Zeppelin baritone.
And he's finding a stairway to heaven. But let's get back to this big secret. Where in the world is Dan? He's on location, clearly. He's in what looks like a spacious hotel room. No offense.
A spacious hotel room. They've given me some space in here.
Is that a little kitchen I'm seeing in there?
It's a little kitchenette. I'm not going to move my camera more because you will see how messy it's. I'm in that zone of being in a hotel room where I have taken things out of the suitcases, but they have not gone in the closet yet.
Sure.
But yes, there's a kitchenette there with two burners and a dishwasher where the bottom rack does not come out.
Do you think anybody ever, sorry, this is an interruption for a bad joke. Do you think anyone ever called Joe Biden Joe Kitchenette Biden? Because his middle name is Robinette.
I didn't know it was Robinette, and I was really trying to figure out the stretch of that joke. It's Robinette?
Yeah, that's his middle name because Joseph he's from like Delaware or whatever. Delaware? Delaware. Like one of those very old, like, why do you have a, what era would you even call that? Like a mid-century name or like a...
Yeah, it's almost like American you're Gothic. Still there's still pilgrims in your family or something. Like
right. What are you guys trying to uphold with Robinette?
Right. Well, the kitchenette.
That's right. I think he's definitely cooking it up in the kitchen. Well, Dan, we're so fortunate you're willing to record on your precious travels.
Yes, it is all a big secret. I can't say where I am yet, but we could play this guy Andrew Sullivan, who I think people kind of don't like now, and I probably wouldn't anymore, but he was like a political writer for The Atlantic and started his own blog. He used to post a photo every day or every week from a location, and everybody on his blog would try to guess where that location was.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I'll do a little... Let's see.
Well, let's give one big clue. I think I'm going to give one big clue. You tell me if this is too far. We'll edit it if it's too far. I'm going to say Dan is technically in the Northern Hemisphere. Is that a little too much?
We're going to have to cut this.
That's a little too much. I knew that it would be. Shit, I'm sorry. I'm blowing up your spot. I apologize.
Yeah. Let's say... Maybe just something a little broader. Could you hit
it? It could be in the southern hemisphere. It could be southern.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm in one of the hemispheres.
Absolutely. We won't say which quadrant.
Let me give you a little hint. Let's see if it's too much.
Oh my God. This is too much. Oh my God. Look at the hint. Decor.
There's the hint.
Wow. Let's go, Super Sleuths. Everybody who researched the Hotel Cecil. Get on this. Which hotel is Dan at? Is he in the Hotel Cecil? Is he somewhere else?
Now tell me about the Hotel Cecil. I'm barely aware of this reference, but someone got killed there and it was on Netflix. Is that
yes? It's a Netflix documentary about this very scary hotel in downtown LA that is just a hellhole, and a woman was killed there and. It was like very mysterious, and basically it was a place that it's like right on Skid Row, and a ton of people would like do drugs there, and it's like one of those hourly places, whatever. It's not a safe place to be. And a young woman who was traveling, I think from Canada, ended up getting killed there, and a lot of people like really were taken with the mystery and stuff, and a lot of like internet sleuths started like doing research just via YouTube or whatever and like making videos about it and stuff. And so the show is all about this hotel where this one big thing happened, but then there was several other stories of just like murders and drugs and all this crap. It's a very scary hotel that still is happening in downtown LA.
Imagine like being there and popping that, like being on Netflix and being like, oh, okay, what's the? It's about the hotel I'm in. And be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, totally.
I think I'm going to check out.
Right. Check, please. The crazy thing was all these like internet super sleuths who are just like curious people with time on their hands who are trying to like make content, obviously, a bunch of them get really into it and end up going to the hotel and like walking around the halls and being like, this is where she was rumored to go out of the fire escape or whatever. And I'm like, so you know about this hotel, how scary it is, and you just went to walk around in it?
Yeah.
That's bizarre to me.
Yeah, I'm not one of those like tour where bad things could happen people.
I tour where great things happen, baby. only. Which, that's not a clue of where Dan is.
It's not. We'll have to cut.
Cut the word.
Or maybe bleep
Brian,
it.
Thank you.
cut or bleep. Bleep. Cut or bleep tropics.
The word.
Nothing funnier than too many bleeps.
I agree. I remember watching Chappelle's Show on television when it came out, thinking it was just the funniest show in the world. And then I saw the DVDs unedited, and they take out the bleeps, and you hear them say fuck and shit and whatever. And it's not as funny. It is so much funnier with the bleeps because they're always a surprise, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
like, punchline. Punchline.
There's this guy that I've taken to enjoying on social media, on TikTok. He goes by, I think, Petey USA or just Petey.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like a cross between our friends Nick Michaels and Casey Trela. and he kind of has a cross between their energies. But he makes kind of like little scenes, and he plays all the characters. And he also does really bad funny bleeps where it's like, whatever, a bunch of guys talking about like, hey, where'd you get all those drugs? And he'll put a bleep over drugs, but it's kind of quiet enough that you just also hear that they say drugs.
Yeah, excuse me. Big snort. Bleep the snort, please.
Bleep the snort.
Bleep the snort. Bleep anything.
Bleep the snort is also the name of the episode. Bleep the snort.
Bleep what? There was no, huh? What are you talking? What snort?
No
you
snort.
Probably didn't even hear it.
I traveled this week. And I'll tell you, man, I don't know if we talked about this yet.
Are your arms really tired?
I just flew out here. I just traveled out here, and boy, are my arms tired.
Bleep it.
Bleep the joke. But I, over the pandemic the past year, did not miss walking into a business, the airport, and immediately being treated like shit.
Right.
I forgot how bad they treat you at airports. Mm-hmm. It is really next level dehumanizing to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year, I got comfortable not walking in and immediately being on someone's nerves.
Right.
For existing.
Was there a specific nerve that you were on?
Well, my flight was, we'll bleep that just so no one knows, but I'm at the airport. bleep that. And, the check-in was, there's no signage anywhere. You walk in and they just expect you to know where to go. And I wait in line and they're like, well, you waited, but first you have to go to this kiosk and print out all your stuff. So then I go to the kiosk and my ticket was for me, bleep that. And they said I was an unaccompanied minor for some reason. And so I couldn't check my bags without help from somebody. And so I waited by the kiosk forever, and nobody, like, this woman showed up and she's like, I'll be right with you. And then she's like, okay, it says you're an unaccompanied minor. You have to go over there, go to that counter. And so I start walking the counter, and this other, and so it's obviously all COVID. So everybody, it's just like you're not understanding people. You're not seeing people's faces. Mm-hmm. And I get to the counter and this woman's like, are you flying domestic? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you got to go over there. And I'm like, okay, I just came from there. She's like, well, that's where you got to go. And I start going, and I don't know where she pointed, so I like try to get in the line and lift the little stanchion thing and put it back down. And then she's like, no, what are you doing? And I'm like, it said I'm an unaccompanied minor. And she's like, oh, you're in the right place. And I was like, I know. anyway, that took a long time. And then I have TSA bleep that. And I showed the guy the thing. I'm like, TSA pre-check, where do I go? And he looks at my ticket. He's like, okay, go over there. And I wait in line and whatever and get to the front. And the guy's like, you got to take your shoes off. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm pre-check. And he's like, well, it doesn't say that on your ticket. And I was like, oh, my God. Why is everyone so mad already at me?
Right.
And while this is happening, like, there's a Chinese guy who doesn't speak English. And the lady is like, sir, shoes off. Shoes off. No, out of your pocket. And it's like,
right.
The guy doesn't speak English. Like,
right.
why not are you going to fight with him? Yeah. It just puts me in this like mood.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Are uncomfortable. That, I mean, it's a whole thing. So anyway, happy that I didn't travel at all this past year.
Yeah. Happy that you only had to do it once and it was for a reason, bleep.
And airplanes are a great example of why capitalism sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's like, they're like, oh, business isn't great. And so their response is not to make it more appealing. Mm-hmm. Their response is to take away every single amenity.
Tighten the belt, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it makes you feel like, oh, everything's going to go down the toilet, or we're living through it.
Right. Well, it's just, you get old enough and you realize that like the fake purpose of every business is to do the thing that they say they do. And the actual purpose is to squeeze money out of people who want to give them money.
Yes.
It's like planes are not invented because everybody like thinks flying is important. It's like, oh, we can get people to pay us a ton of money for this if we can afford to start a plane. Great. That's what we do. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't end up serving it. Yeah, I get it. It just fucking sucks. It's tough.
It's all, I mean, it's like cable, internet. It's all the same thing. It's like,
right.
How much can we
make?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a fictitious number they're chasing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And we've got no power because we need it.
Yeah, I sure need it. I need cable and I need to fly.
How was your week? What's in the news?
It was good. I'm feeling much more moved into my place. I had some time to just sort of be at home and like get things comfortable how they were. I still have like one box of clothes that I'm avoiding finishing. Like I either need to like give it away, find a way to store it, or I don't know what the third option would be. but it's just something that I'm like, I've put everything away and then I have like a pile in my room and a pile in my living room of like, this isn't quite finished, but I don't know how I want to finish it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where these little tools are going to go yet. But at least I have everything grouped into like, I don't feel like I'm like, where is everything? In the beginning, it was just like, I have all my stuff, but I have no idea what's what, you know? And now I'm pretty close and I feel comfortable and I've spent some days here and it feels like home a little bit. So that feels really nice.
What are you like 2 weeks into this place there?
Yes. I think like the first of the month was when I really started moving, but it's been almost a month of like having the keys or whatever. So, and I finally got my little one car garage set up a little bit. I'm not going to park in there. I just have like a little workout area in there and then a little table to do some work on and stuff. And, I bought that was something I bought this week was a rower, like a rowing machine, you know?
Ooh.
So I put that in my garage and I did my first rowing exercise. And
you're going to have an incredible upper body.
I'm going to have really, I mean, I'm already sore right here in my traps. You know what I mean?
I can see how big it is. Look at this guy.
But yeah, it felt good. It felt good to get a little active and go for a little walk. And then I played some golf as well. So it was a nice little week of like feeling a little more normal, a little more moved in. The garage thing was definitely, the garage was like where I put everything out of the house that I didn't want to deal with. And then I finally cleaned the garage and got that sort of set up how I wanted. So I feel like I'm not living out of boxes as much anymore. It's just stressful to like pick up your whole life and move it. And I think a little bit like isolating to do it alone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really excited to be living alone and happy, but I really did have to, like, it didn't get done if I didn't do it, you know? So I'm happy to be through all of that stuff rather than feel like I have an endless to-do list.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm happy for you. I mean, it's so, not to be, like, overly philosophical about it, but, like, to not have a home makes you not feel like a human in your own body.
Totally.
It's like, it just kind of discombobulates everything. At least that's my feeling.
Yeah, I'm just literally like, where am I at?
Yeah.
Where do I sleep tonight? Like, you know, I'm fortunate and privileged to like never actually have to actually ask that question, but it is just nice to be like, okay, right. For the foreseeable future, that is set and ready to go. It was like during moving, I was like, okay, where's my bed and where's my computer stuff? And if I have to work this week and record, I want to make sure I leave that stuff at the old place, then record, and then move it to the new place for the recording next week. And just like, you know, unplugging and replugging everything and just all the watering the plants. And I only lost two plants in the move, but they were the worst ones. So I'm happy.
They died, or you like literally just got rid of them?
Because one died, or one I was like, I'm going to stop trying to revive this. I'm just going to use the pot for something new. And then the other one that was kind of dead, I was trimming it outside or pruning, and maybe trimming is the right word, but I was trimming all the dead shit out because half of it was really alive and then half of it had sort of dried out and whatever. So it's like, maybe if I cut off all the dry stuff, the new stuff will just populate and like retake it over. So I set it on this like ledge of my little porch thing and I was trimming it and the whole pot just like tipped off the ledge and fell into like a little garden-y area, but it's really, it's not huge, but it's very dense and lush and I couldn't reach the pot and I couldn't like walk around and really get it without like really getting in there. So it just kind of lives at the,
it's just sort of
there now.
It's with its friends maybe.
Yeah. And maybe someone who comes by and trims those, that tree and shit occasionally will be like, what is this pot doing here? And pick it up. And then maybe I'll use it again. But for now, I'm just going to know that it's there and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm glad the ones you love are still with you.
Yes. This was a temperamental one anyway. I think I would have taken more care if I was really loving it, you know.
For sure. It was maybe a little subconscious murder even.
And now what's going on with your garden? Because you've, you know,
big
not
veg.
This is bad, but left untended.
Big veg for sure.
Yeah, you had some big veggie.
Yeah, I showed you my Swiss chard, which I think I'll send a picture of that to Brian and post this big veg right now. But yeah, I'm happy with that chard. And I think my roommate Roxy has been very kind to say, hey, this is
beautiful.
Sue garden is me garden. So she's going to take care of it, keep it watered, hopefully put that chard in a good home, i.e. her stomach.
Nice.
And I there was an eggplant that will probably mature while I'm gone, so I'm sad to miss that.
You got to get some picture updates, just daily.
She's been sending me some great and also some great Stella updates. She's been really beautiful. Sending me some Stella updates that make me really feel loved and like I love my little doggy.
I bet Stella misses you.
I hope she does. I bet she does.
I know she does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about those plants are, it's the miracle of nature. They grow whether or not you're doing it. So as long as they stay watered and sort of watched at all, they're your kids. They're growing up. They're fine without you.
I think if it was the dead of summer, I'd be a little more worried that they would dry out because you have to kind of keep more of an eye on them. But this time, the really only reason I'm bummed is kind of the whole idea of starting the garden was this like first of all, something to do, but this metaphor in my yard of like, if you tend to something this spring, it will be special next spring. It will be like grown and you'll have felt the year pass and been like, oh, wow.
Right.
This effort created a whatever.
It's like a tangible metaphor to like watch that growth, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of sad that I won't be able to like see the actual bloom of everything that is happening now. But I'm happy it'll be there when I get back and I'll.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw some watermelons in the ground and hopefully those will grow. I really
have
want
you done a watermelon yet?
I did last year and it never flowered, or it flowered but it never got the flowers, never got bee sex or whatever.
Never
they
fruited.
Yeah, never fruited.
Well, but that was
There was a drive-by fruiting.
Bleep. but that was the very beginning of your sort of gardening. So for that not to take fruit, of course.
Yes.
That was, you know, this season is probably your season of professionalism.
Yeah, and I planted them at the end of summer, so it was it was like my last little space in the ground. I was like, plant them, see if it grows. If not, who cares?
Right.
So yeah, the garden is chilling. I just feel like I'm happy to be here and happy to be working, but I really feel like the timing, I feel like I'm missing out on so much. Like everyone we know got the vaccine the week I left. And I just like don't understand how to get it in this hemisphere that I'm in.
Right.
And so that's been an interesting thing for me to like feel like I was so close and now I feel like I'm missing the big moment where it's happening. And I had this like, it's just maybe my brain is just going to weird places. But I was like, I really hope while I'm gone, UCB doesn't reopen, which I don't think it will. But I like really want to be there for the first shows. I think it's like been a huge part of like the fantasy of pandemic ending is like that first show in front of people.
Right.
And so I feel
I think you're safe there. I don't think they're going to open
it's
up
just
really
so hard
fast
to tell
because
last week they were like gyms and restaurants and movies are open. I was like, hang on, what?
Right. But I think, yes, I mean, you're right. I think they may be allowed to reopen, but I don't think they have like the 24-hour fitness brand behind them to open up again to, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
And especially in our community, everybody is so wary with good reason. But I think the people that I know closely as comedians are like some of the most COVID fearing people that I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would be surprised if everybody is gung-ho on the same weekend and you miss it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
It needs both doses, then that 10-day period.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute. I think a few people got it, and it made it seem like a ton, but it was just like a bunch of, you know, the people who I knew would get it early. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I mean, all the people that I know, like, nobody was just straight up offered it and got, like, they all hunted for it and, like, really went and found it. It's not like, you know, they just opened up CVS and everybody could walk in. I think that's not happening. But
are you eager to get it? Are you kind of, like,
on the hunt? Yeah. I'm slightly on the hunt. I'm more just, like, seeing what my options are. I, like, went on the Walgreens and CVS thing to see, like, what the reality of, like, how open they are for that kind of stuff. And like I did my little eligibility thing and they're like, you're not eligible yet through that. And then I contacted my primary care physician just to be like, hey, is there any way that I can get the vaccine? I mean, you're my doctor. I should talk to you about this. Like, what do you know? And we'll see what he says. But other than that, I'm kind of just like, there seems like there's a lot of news about it, you know? So I'm going to hear. I'm going to hear when it's possible. And I've already signed up on a couple of lists that are like, we'll contact you when whatever. So, and you know, I'm really enjoying keeping my life close to home. So I'm just not, what am I going to do? Go get the vaccine and then call up 10 people and go do the opposite of what I've been doing for you. Like, I'm just not ready for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go to a party next weekend, even if everybody's fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel good about that for some reason. It's going to take me a minute.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and if it doesn't for people, no judgment. But that's where I'm at and trying to, like, that's all I care about right now.
Yeah.
Not being rushed into something that I feel, you know, it's like, I just want to feel good. So what, you know, I don't need that thing.
That's good to be aware of. It's like such a, I think I'm constantly relearning the power of even just like naming how you feel about a thing and being aware of it beyond anything else. Just like,
it's the whole thing.
Where am I at with this? Yeah.
It's the only thing that therapy has taught me is like, it's not about the external circumstances. It's about the internal feeling. You know what I mean? Like, to a point, it's like, if you're fine and safe and healthy, the stuff that's bothering you is how you feel.
Yeah.
You know? So like, check into that, deal with that. And I'm like, well, I feel nervous of being around people anyway. Great. Then I don't need to rush to get the vaccine and fight every, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
But yes, I would love to have it. I would love everybody to have it and that we could all go to restaurants and do all that stuff. But I don't know. It's not up to me. That part, you know? So
I think I have this feeling like, I don't know if I said this on the air to you already, but it's the feeling I have with like credit card miles, with the stock market, with like point, like credit card points or whatever, is like other people have figured it out and are getting cool things and I'm not. And I felt that with the vaccine, where we were on an email chain and all of a sudden like 20 people were like posting pictures of themselves with the vaccine. And I was like, how did you all, where, where did you find this? What am I missing here? Like, I don't want to force my way into one, but if you all figured out an easy way to get one, I'd like to do that. And right. I feel like it's the same with like all that, the stock market. I don't want to like do a billion days of research, but if everyone's like, oh, here's a bing, bang, boom, and your money's working for itself a little more, then please tell me.
Sure. Sure.
I remember asking a college teacher, which, by the way, this is their job. It was a theater teacher, a voiceover artist. And I was like, hey, I'd really like to do voiceover. Do you have any advice? And he was like, it's a pretty tough world to get into. And it was like, okay, thank you.
No.
Yeah.
You could have just said, no, I don't know, because that's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't know what advice you would give me, own that.
Yeah. And also like, hey, this is the University of Southern California. I think you're getting paid a ton of money. So I guess you're fired or you should quit because this is your fucking job.
Right.
Guy who was in the Little Giants.
Right. Wait a second. Who?
The little assistant coach on Ed O'Neill's team.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, beefy guy. Looks kind of like a pig. No offense. No offense.
No offense.
I look like a pig. I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah. I dropped his class because on the first day he showed his reel. And then I.
Well, it's like it's one thing to be a college professor who like left the industry and then is bringing that knowledge somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the thick of it. You're in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I don't trust a film teacher in the city that film exists. No offense. Do you know what really? I mean? Yeah, because that's do funny. Film. Do
yeah,
film.
Yeah. Like, it's those who can't do teach or whatever.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, not to get specific or whatever, but it became the same thing at UCB. It's like, take a class from someone you enjoy watching perform.
Right.
Don't take absolutely. A class from someone you've never seen do improv because... Why don't they do it? You know what I mean? You got to at least do both. You can't not do the thing we're trying to learn about and teach it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Well, Dan, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I love to check in, but I think we should wrap it on up.
Let's. That's a wrap, folks. So I think the
or
only
should we
thing-
say that's a
and hit us with a bleep on the that's a bleep. So, yeah, I think the only real push is we ended our last episode with, like, we think this thing's happening with Big Grande. We hadn't really decided. Mm-hmm. But now it's we know it's out there. I'm guessing our listeners know it's out there. But if not, biggrandewebsite.com. We have a four-episode series of The Preacher's Lounge, The Story of Jesus. And in my opinion, Ryan, you can tell me how you feel. It's very funny, and we had a great time recording them.
It's a lot of fun. It's crazy and offensive.
If you like Jesus, it's offensive if you're a Jesus fan. It is the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have four wonderful guests on each episode. By the time you're hearing this, the Lauren Lapkus episode will have just come out. So go to biggrandewebsite.com and check that out if you'd like to hear it.
We did the videos.
And we filmed it. Yes. And is that everything for us?
That's it. Yeah, that's the thing. And then we're working on some more stuff for the Big Grande website for after this has completed its run, you know? So we're keep checking it out and definitely tell your friends. I mean, give us a rate and that I think that would be very helpful. A rate and a review on either the Big Grande Presents Apple thing so that people can hear about Big Grande or on the Man Dog Pod Apple thing because those ratings really boost the the free version getting seen, which is nice.
Bumps the algorithm. I mean, we all know it's the funniest comedy you can get out there. It's just not enough people know about it, so let's start getting out there. And by the way, we know a lot of our listeners are journalists and podcast reviewers. We'd love a feature. We'd love an article.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's going on out here?
Absolutely. Help us out. We love you guys.
We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Ryan, I love you. Good to see you.
Too,
good
buddy.
To check in.
Good. Love you too. And I hope things are going good in that hemisphere that you're in.
Okay. We're going to have to we can't play this episode.
Okay. Can it?
Dump it.
Dump.
Bye, dogs.
Bye.